Welcome to Continuum, this weekly program of early music. I'm Milton Sherman Jr. With me is Ty St. Julian. And our program today is centered around one major early instrument, and that is the recorder. I'm sure the recorder is used in almost every school now to teach young kids to learn how to play music. It's a relatively, I would say, easy instrument to start at the beginning, but can be extremely difficult to play some of the major selections that have been composed for it. We're going to listen to one of the major recorder players who lived until the year 1976. And I have to say, for myself and Thais, we had the pleasure of meeting David Monroe here in New Orleans when he came with the Early Music Consort of London. And we're going to begin with a series of, just two selections from the medieval period played on the recorder by David Monroe, and then we'll hear some other selections from other periods, including the Renaissance, the early Baroque, and we'll go into the contemporary use of that instrument. So Thais will tell us about those first two selections played by David Monroe.
First, we'll hear an English dance by my favorite composer, Anonymous. And this was in the 13th century it was composed. Following that, a Saltarello, another Anonymous composer, and this written in the 14th century.
Thank you.
The unbelievable expert playing by David Monroe, they have a soprano recorder. And as I mentioned before, recorders are used for teaching children music in school today, but hardly ever would you have someone play something that fantastic on that instrument. The recorder is really the forerunner of the flute. And it's really called originally a fipple flute. The fipple means that it had a block of wood in the head that you blew in, and that block of wood was called the fipple, was a wooden plug. And you blew through the top of the instrument, not over the whole of the instrument as you would in a transverse flute. It also was an instrument that was very popular from medieval through Baroque times. And it was a family instrument, meaning that it came in various sizes, starting off basically at the small soprano or sopranino. Actually, it was one smaller than that, called in German the Gauklandflöte, which means the really small flute. And it was so small, I actually have one that I cannot play it because the holes are so close together, there's no way I can get my fingers over all of the holes. But anyhow, we have it for historical purposes, and it fits in with the family. So we go from that to the soprano, to the alto, the tenor, the bass, the great bass, and the contrabass. Those large bass recorders can get to be sometimes 7 to 8 feet high. And over the years, we've fortunately have collected, I have over 55 recorders in my collection, but usually play the regular recorders, soprano, alto, tenor, or bass. And we're going to continue now with music of the Renaissance, I believe. Is that right, Thais?
Yes, that is. I have nowhere near so many flutes or whatever instrument. I have very few of my own. In the meantime, we're going to move from the Middle Ages to the Renaissance. First, Ein Frohlich Wehen, and that is by Jacobus Barbereau, who died in 1491. Four chansons published by Pierre Antagnan in 1533. Voyons souffrir Jardin dit, and that is 1529. Trois jeunes bourgeois, and that is by Guillaume Leteur, who flourished in the 16th century. Alex Sospir, Claudin de Saint-Messy, 1490 to 1562. Amour Mouvoyant, also by the same Claudin de Saint-Massy. Fantasy, The Leaves Be Green, that's by William Byrd, 1543 to 1623. And ending with Five Dances by Anthony Holborn, who died in 1602.
Thank you.
a group of early Renaissance selections there, again, played by the Ensemble de Monroe Recorder Consort. And we'll talk a little bit more about David Monroe and our association that we had with him back in 1973 after our final few selections of the Renaissance period.
We start our next bit with Sic Semper Solio. Following that, Pavan, Galliard, the Choix, and Mulinda.
Thank you.
final group of selections from the Renaissance period, played there by the David Munro Recorder Consort. I think it's worth giving their names. Some of these names are typically British names. David Munro, naturally. John Turner, David Pugsley, Alan Lumsden, and Andrew van der Beek, members of the Recorder Consort that you just heard playing. And now we're coming up to another period.
We are, and we're about to start with a sonata in seven parts, seven flutes, actually, written by J.H. Schmelzer, 1623 to 1680.
And I don't, do you remember when you played one of the recorders in the Schmelzer?
I do.
You did that in the late 70s.
I do remember, and it was another instance where I was absolutely petrified.
It does mention flutes, but in that context, it does mean recorders, because that composition is recognized as one of the major compositions for that many recorders. I don't think there's anything else for seven recorders, so it's an excellent piece.
Oh, it really was. Yeah. And ultimately, even though I was terrified, I sure had a good time. And following the sonata in with seven flutes or seven players, we'll hear a fantasia, Three Parts Upon a Ground, by Henry Purcell. You may want to say something about the parts and the ground, Milton. The ground is just a...
The ground is the major melody, and it's used upon which to write variations. That's all it is.
And that's it. And that composer is Henry Purcell, 1659-1695.
Thank you.
two early Baroque pieces there by Schmelzer and Purcell. And this is a program devoted to the art of the recorder. We're going to do Baroque music coming up. But before that, Theis and I were talking about the time we met David Monroe. I was president of New Orleans Friends of Music back in 1976, actually in 75. I made arrangements for the Early Music Consort of London to come play a concert for the Friends of Music. And they contacted me and asked that whether we had an antique harpsichord or a copy of an antique harpsichord. And I said, no, we did not in the city at that time. And so that prodded me on to build a copy of a 1632 Rooker's harpsichord. And that gave me 7 months to build it. And I did finish it 2 weeks before they arrived. And I must say, Christopher Hogwood, who also played with the David Monroe Early Music Consort, was the first one to play on that harpsichord. Unfortunately, Christopher Hogwood has now passed away. But the instrument I have is very meaningful to me because he autographed the instrument before he played it for that concert. And we did talk to David Monroe, and maybe you have some things to say about it.
Yeah, I remember we met with David Monroe in the place where he was staying,
Claiborne Towers.
Okay. And he was really very nice and very open and gave us a wonderful interview. Did we have a recording of that?
Yes, it's on tape.
On the cassette tape.
I'd have to put it on the new format now, really.
But, you know, for someone who had just finished performing, to spend some time with us and talk about what he did, and he was, he really was just a very nice, open person.
And I was so disturbed to hear, and so was Ty, who said just a few months later that he had taken his own life, and dying at the age of 33. Such a fantastic musician, just absolutely normal to be able to play all of these instruments.
Oh, gosh. And interesting also that the person who let us know that he had passed was Skip Sempe.
That's right.
Yeah.
Former harpsichord student of mine, and now one of the top harpsichords in the world. So we're going into the Baroque period now at the end of this program.
Yes, and we're going to start with some Vivaldi. This is a concerto in A minor, Allegro, Largo, and another Allegro.
Thank you.
the sonata in A minor by Vivaldi, played by David Monroe, who's a subject of our program today. The harpsichord there played by Christopher Hogwood. And I mentioned that Christopher Hogwood unbelievably passed away last September. And it was he and David Monroe, whom we so importantly remember talking to when they were here in 1976.
It reminds me of how difficult it is sometimes for artists to fulfill themselves completely. And David Monroe actually ended his own life. And it's such a loss. He would still be alive. And the loss of so much wonder and gorgeous, it's just his playing, and he was just such a wonderful person, so it just hurts still.
He was an unbelievable musician. Just the final word, mentioning that on this 2-CD set of The Art of the Ricorda, there are 40 cuts of him playing additional instruments of the Middle Ages and also the Renaissance.
Yeah.
So we end our program with that thought in mind.
That's
and
right.
Remembrance of David Monroe.
There will never be another.